today is found in the 9th chapter and the 10th chapter of the book of Exodus. We left off last week with the 5th plague. We have this plague, the 6th one, to begin with this day. We find that God commanded Moses to take of the dust or the ashes of the furnace and to spread this up into the heavens, and that when he would do this, the ashes would become dust, and this dust would fall upon the people and upon the cattle, and they would be breaking out with boils and blains. This was the plague that was threatened upon Pharaoh and upon his people. According to the way we read this, it doesn't seem that Pharaoh was stricken with this plague. He did not have any boils. But Moses was commanded to take of the ashes of the furnace. This means that the Israelites, they made bricks, and they had kilns in which they baked these bricks. And it is said that they took the ashes from these furnaces, and they threw this into the air, and it became dust. This was to show unto Pharaoh that he was going to be punished because he had caused the Israelites to be such slaves in making bricks the way they had to do. Now, according to one commentator, he says that in Egypt there were 5 cities, and at particular times they would sacrifice human beings. They would take people with bright hair and light complexion, and they would place these people upon a high altar, and they would burn them alive. Now, they could not find anyone amongst the Egyptians that had light hair and light complexion. And it is thought where that the Israelites dwelt amongst them, they took of these Jewish people and used them for this purpose. They burnt them alive on an altar. And after this sacrifice of this human being, the priest would gather the ashes and would scrub into the air. And wherever one of the atoms of this ashes fell, it was believed that a blessing would come down upon them. Now Moses, in an altogether different manner, was commanded to take these ashes and draw them into the heavens too. But they became a sore boil and a blain, breaking out upon man and upon beast. This, what happened amongst the Egyptians, happened similar to Job. You know that Job was smitten with sore boils. This disease was called the elephantitis. These poor people in Egypt, they were all smitten with this terrible disease. All over their bodies, there was nothing else but these boils and these blains breaking out. Very sore, very painful. If you have ever had a boil, you know how painful they are. Thanks be to God, I never had one yet. But I've seen them on people, and they're awful looking sores to my estimation. And we find that they break open, and nothing else but pus and matter runs out of them. Now this was then taking place among these people in Egypt. God had punished these people with this terrible plague. All my hearers, this plague is similar to sin to me. Sin is likewise like a boil. A boil has pus and matter in it, and so sin is something that is very painful when God opens it up by His Spirit unto our hearts and unto our conscience. Then it becomes something that we would detest, that we would hate, that we would dislike, that we would wish that we could get rid of. How many have this feeling about sin that are listening to me? That it's painful to you, that it cuts you to your heart and to your conscience, and that you would desire to be rid of sin, that which will be your eternal destruction. Although boils are not fatal, still they are a very painful thing when people are inflicted with them on their bodies. And now God took away this plague, and He instructed Moses to go in unto Pharaoh and speak unto him that he was going to bring another plague upon him if he did not leave the people go. Now, this plague would be a terrific hailstorm, a storm like they never had since Egypt was a nation. And that these hailstones, they would come down upon man and beast. They were told by Moses that they were to take their cattle and bring them into their houses, and likewise with their servants that worked in the fields, because this storm would kill everyone that was found in the fields, and the cattle likewise. Now those that believed the word of God amongst the servants of Pharaoh, they brought their cattle into the houses and instructed their servants likewise to get under cover. But they that paid no regard to the word of God, they left their cattle in the fields and their servants likewise. And now God had threatened to bring this down upon the land of Egypt. And this man Pharaoh, you would think that after so many times that Moses had spoken unto him, in truth, and by the mouth of God, and God had fulfilled everything that Moses had spoken about, that he would have listened, and that he would have begun to be afraid, and that he would have given in and let the people go. And did he need any more warnings? Did he need any more plagues? Did he need any more signs? Have you had enough? No, my hearers, it's proof, even for you and me, that no matter how many warnings, and no matter how many things God brings upon us, if He does not sanctify them, on we go, irrespective of what He's going to bring upon us. So hardened are we in sin, and so under the power and the dominion thereof, that we are like Pharaoh. How many times haven't you been warned? How many times has God not used His servants, the sermons that are read, speaking unto you, warning you of the storm that is to come? And how has it affected you? Just like Pharaoh? Not only has God threatened, but how often hasn't He come with the sweet and the melodious sound of the gospel, that He has no delight in your death, and that He has given His only begotten Son as a Savior and as a mediator between God and man. He has invited you to come up unto His Son, to seek Him, to find Him. And how has this affected you? All my hearers, it did not affect Pharaoh one bit. For we find that Moses, he was instructed to stretch the rod out over the land of Egypt. And then God brought a terrible storm upon the land of Egypt. Hailstones. And not only hailstones, but lightning and thunder and rain accompanied it. A storm like they never had in Egypt, never before. And now those that had believed what Moses had said, they were spared. They had taken their cattle into shelter and themselves likewise. But the others that did not believe, they were smitten. Oh, what an awful thing this must have been. The poor cattle that had been left yet from the grievous murrain that God had brought upon them, and then poor animals were out in the field, and when these hailstones came down, they ran to and fro, they didn't know which way to go, and finally they fell down dead. Likewise with the people in the field, who paid no regard to the warning that they had had. They likewise ran for shelter, but before they could get to a place, they were killed by the terrific hailstones that fell down upon the ground. And all the lightning ran along the ground, and many fires in many places were struck by the lightning. And the thunders were so terrible that even Pharaoh, looking out of the window of his palace, began to shake and began to tremble when he seen the destruction, what was taking place in and through this terrible storm that God had brought down upon Egypt. Oh, my hearers, haven't you ever been in a storm? Haven't you ever had that it lightning, that it thundered, that the wind came, that hail was in it? And what was taking place by you? Weren't you afraid? To say you weren't, then I would say you are worse than a beast. For even a beast, whenever there's a storm, they shake, they tremble, they seek a place of shelter. Man has fallen even lower than a beast. Many persons have no fear. Many persons, they mock. How often you hear people making a noise as thunder, mocking with God. But God was not mocking with these people in Egypt. He was revealing his terrible majesty, and he was saying with that, "Will ye not fear me, who has set the sea and the bounds thereof, that the waves thereof come not over? Will you not fear me, seeing my majesty and my glory in this storm?" So God speaks to you and I when he sends a terrible storm upon us. Oh, how many, probably listening to me, have been filled with fear. You probably have humbled yourself in your own home. You probably went on your knees. I know I did already. Even in my natural state, filled with fear that if God should strike the house and strike us, where would we be? And that justly we would be in hell. And all praying that God would spare us, making resolutions, making vows, so that if he did, we would lead another life. All my hearers, when these things take place, even outwardly, they affect us. We are filled with a slavish fear, a dread of the majesty of God and of his power revealed. So it was with the Egyptians, and so it was with Pharaoh. When he saw what was taking place, he immediately sent for Aaron and for Moses to come in haste. And when they came, he said unto them, I have sinned this time. The Lord is righteous. I and my people have done wickedly. See where it brought this king even, who was so hardened under all that God had brought upon him that he came out with, I have sinned this time. That's all he said. I have sinned this time. Hadn't he sinned before? Hadn't he sinned when he didn't listen to Moses after all the plagues that God had brought upon him? Did he go alone? Did he get on his knees? Did he confess his sins before God as a true penitent? I'm afraid not. He went a little step further. He said, the Lord is righteous. Righteous in bringing what he has brought upon us and upon my people. All can go so far, my hearers, under the fear and under the dread that God might take our life away. And then he says, I have done wickedly with my people. It may be to you that are listening to me have likewise been in a position like that. There has been a storm in your life. Don't have to be a hailstorm. It don't have to be a thunderstorm. Many a storm we go through in life. When affliction comes, when God takes away a partner in life. Oh, what a storm this is, my hearers, that we have to go through. Only those that go through it know what it is. You lose your mother, your father. You're married, you lose one of your children. Oh, what a storm. No one can describe what goes on in the mind and in the hearts of those people that go through this. And when this takes place, my hearers, we are under the impression that we likewise will have to pass away someday. And all we begin to seek God's face, we begin to pray that we may be spared in that great day. We are under the impression and under the fear of death. And this fear, my hearers, passes away like a morning cloud. It doesn't abide. We see it in Pharaoh. I have sinned. The Lord is righteous. I and my people have done wickedly. Maybe you said that. Maybe you confessed that. But just like Pharaoh, what was it? Was it a true confession? Or was it in humility? Or was it by the grace of God? No. For you find that Moses, and when he was called in and when he spake this way to him, he said, I will go out and I will stretch my hands unto the heavens. And he says, the hail and the thunder and the lightning will stop. But as for you, he says, and your servants, he says, I know you will not fear God. He saw right through his hypocrisy. He saw right through his confession that it wasn't a true one. Oh, I admire this man, Moses, that he had such faith when he stood before Pharaoh, and when he spake to him and said, I will go out and stretch my hands unto the heavens, and the hail and the thunder and the lightning shall stop. He believed that when he would do this, God would listen to him and God would answer him and God would give that it would come to an end. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, to be as Moses, to have such intercourse with God, such nearness unto him, such faith to believe that he listens to us. And we see in Moses a wonderful type of the Lord Jesus Christ. My hearers, there's a storm coming for me and you. We don't know when it's going to come, but it's due. But there's a day of judgment coming, and in that great day of accounts, then God will make a separation, as he did here. For in the land of Goshen, there was no hail. There was no destruction. The sun was shining. But here, there was a terrible storm going on. And many of the people were killed. So it will be in the great day of accounts. God will make a separation. He has made this separation already in eternity. But in that day it will be revealed before all worlds. And then he will separate the people whom he hath chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the earth. They will look upon him, that precious Jesus, who bore the storm of God's wrath and of his curse and of his anger for them, so that they may escape that eternal penalty of sin. All my hearers, seek an interest in this precious Jesus. Whatever you do, seek him first. All to be found in him in that great day. Then the storm of God's wrath will not come down upon you. It's a mercy if we go through this spiritually in this life. But when God brings home sin and convicts us, and the arrows of the Almighty are fastened into our souls, and the law comes home with its thunders and with its curses, and we fear that it's the end for us, and then God in his love reveals a way of escape in his dear son Jesus. And then we are pointed to him who bore this for all his people. How necessary does this Jesus become then for a poor, lost, condemned, and law-cursed sinner? Has he become that for you? Or do you need him? What a mercy, my hearers. Moses went outside of the city, stretched his hands unto the heavens, and the rain and the thunder and the lightnings came to an end. The hailstones did not fall anymore. And now Pharaoh, he had not even promised that he would let the people go. He was filled with fear itself, thinking, if one of those lightning bolts strikes me, then I'll be in hell. And now he still hardened his heart and would not let the people go. And now Moses and Aaron were commanded again to go in unto Pharaoh and to speak unto him. For that God was going to bring all his plagues upon him, and he was going to visit his people with pestilence. And that he had especially raised up Moses, raised up Pharaoh for this purpose, that he would be cut off from the earth. Oh, my hearers. You would think that this would have affected this man. That God had raised him up just for this purpose, so that he would reveal his signs and his wonders in the land of Egypt, and that the sons and the sons of the Israelites would be able to tell what God had done down in the land of Egypt for them. And now God speak by Moses to this man that he had raised him up for this purpose. That God was going to make an example of this man, and he was finally going to destroy him. He was going to cut him off from all salvation and from all hopes of ever being reconciled with God. What an awful thing for God to raise up a person to make an example of him. Oh, this man Pharaoh, he was so hardened under all that God had brought upon him that it did not affect him at all. But the servants who he had and who went along with him in everything, they got a change of heart. This time they said unto Pharaoh, "How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Do you not know that Egypt is already destroyed?" Even then these servants, they entreated Pharaoh to leave the people go. What an awful thing, I think, to have a ruler and to have those that assist him in governing the country to be such a proud and a haughty creature, rather than humble himself, let the nation come to ruin. Terrible rulers if we have such kind, my hearers. But this was what Pharaoh was in Egypt. Oh, my hearers, pride cometh before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. See it in Pharaoh. Oh, what a blessing to be humbled. And will ye not yet humble yourself? He was told this was the thing that was between him and God. He would not humble himself. He would not acknowledge that God was the supreme ruler and governor of the universe. And now God speak to him in this way, and speak by Moses concerning even their sons and their sons' sons. And this was to be written in a book, and this would abide unto the end of the world, that they had something to go back to. What wonders God had done in the land of Egypt for these Israelites. And now God commanded Moses to go out from the presence of Pharaoh. And he was commanded to stretch forth his rod. And this rod was going to bring locusts in the land of Egypt. Such locusts as they never had yet before. And Moses, at the commandment of God, went and stretched the rod out, this wonderful rod. And God brought an east wind all that day and all that night. And with the morning came the locusts. My hearers, these locusts, they were to come into the houses, and they were to come even into everything that the Egyptians had. But God would not let any of the locusts come upon the Israelites in the land of Goshen. And now this is called in Scripture God's great army of the locusts. Now these animals are very devastating. Now wherever they may come, they usually eat everything up, and what they don't eat is so spoiled by the bite that they make into any plant, that plant's vegetation immediately is gone. These locusts were brought by an east wind. The east wind for the Egyptians was an awful wind. It was a hot and a burning and a stifling wind. And this wind blew and brought these animals. These locusts. They come in such clouds, according to the commentary. They are so filled in the sky with multitudes of these locusts that the sun is even hidden from view. And that when they light upon the ground, they are about 4 inches thick. And they usually follow a leader. And whatever the leader does, that's what these other locusts do. And they come in such multitudes from 19 to 16 miles wide in a cloud. And when they land on the ground, and they stay there for a night, and there isn't anything left on the ground. And they say if you step on one, or you run over them with the wheel of a wagon or something, and the terrific odor from these locusts even bring a pestilence. And there's no way of escaping them. There's no way whereby you could turn these things away from coming on you. Well, they usually come with the wind. And we know that God controls the wind. And God brought this down upon the land of Egypt. Whatever was left from the hail was consumed by the locusts. And they went into almost every house. And they went in almost everything that was to be found. How terrible this must have been, my hearers, to these people, to the Egyptians. And now these locusts, they caused such a destruction that when Pharaoh looked outside and seen what was going on, then he again sent for Moses and for Aaron to come. And then he says unto them, go. Go and serve the Lord your God, he says. But he says, who shall go with you? Well, Moses says, we will go with our old and with our young. And we will go with our flocks and with our herds. For we must hold a feast unto the Lord our God. No, says Pharaoh, you can only go with the men. You leave the young ones here, and you leave the mothers here. But this is what you first asked for. Let the men go and worship and serve your God. No, Moses says, we need to go with our young and with our old, with our flocks and with our herds, for we need them to offer up sacrifices unto God. And Pharaoh would only give them permission to lead the men go. And he chased Moses away from his presence. My hearers, Pharaoh is here a type of the devil. But what a blessing if we come up to the house of God to worship God with our old and with our young. It is the devil's aim to keep every one of us from worshiping God. He would influence our mind and influence our heart if he could, to have all kinds of evil thoughts of God. And especially of the young. Or he would present to the young, they have a long life to live. Why not enjoy your life? What will you have when you become religious and you have to go to church every Sunday and you have to serve God? You don't have any life then. Why, enjoy the world, enjoy the flesh, enjoy the things of time and sense. After you get a little older, then you can start thinking about religion. Who does this? The devil does this. He would hinder young people from coming up even to worship the Lord. And my hearers, what an awful thing if we have parents that do not set an example for their children. And there are many parents, they never come to a church. But when they have children, oh, they have to have their children go to Sunday school. They have to be brought up religious, but themselves they don't go. They'll bring them with a car and they'll go away from the place, but they don't come themselves. Who does this? This is the devil, my hearers, because these children, when they get a little older, they rise up against the parents. And they say, well, you don't go to church. And if you don't go, why should I have to go? And they will have a division in the home. Pretty soon nobody goes. That's the way the devil likes it. Oh, yeah. If he could get every one of us to turn away from worshiping God, he would be laughing. And this Pharaoh, he would not permit the young and the women to go, but the men they were allowed to go. Oh, my hearers, may we as parents set an example for our young. Oh, may we bring them all up to the house of God. It's there that God meets with us. It's there that God begins a work of grace many times. Stay not away for any reason. And listen not to Satan's voice inside of you, saying, well, you're not an elect person. You're never going to be saved. There's no grace for you. You might just as well not go anymore. If you're an elect vessel, he'll come to you regardless of where you are. He comes with that too, my hearers. Anything to keep you away from the ordinance of God. Oh, may you listen to the voice of God, who says what? He says he has no delight in the death of any one of us. Do you believe him? Do you think he wants to destroy us? Has he not sent his precious word amongst us? Does he not give us time and again to hear the sweet message of the gospel, that he will receive us, or that he turns none away that come unto him? Oh, may you be given to come to him in this way. Tell him what he says in his word and say, Lord, you say in your word, you have no delight in the death of any one of us. Here I am. I deserve to die. I deserve to be sunk down under your wrath and anger. But you say here you do have no delight for it. I reveal then that you have a delight in saving me. Ah, present it to him, my hearers. Oh, what a mercy if you may come to him with his word. He's a God of truth. He never goes back on his word. And Pharaoh, he's a type, as I've been explaining to you, of the devil. And now God commanded Moses that he should stretch his rod out again over the land of Egypt, and there would be darkness. Thick darkness. This plague, my hearers, was an awful thing. For 3 days, there was such darkness that nobody could see each other. This darkness was caused by vapors, very thick vapors that God let down, and which, no matter even if they lit candles or lit lights, they went out immediately. These vapors, and nothing could stand before them. It has been, of course, your experience and mine already that we have been riding in a car, and it has been so foggy, as we say, you couldn't see a hand in front of your face. Many drivers, they pull to the side of the road and they wait until the fog lifts because they can't see. So it was in Egypt for 3 days. Couldn't see nothing. Couldn't see each other. So thick was this darkness. Now this darkness is a type of you and I. When God created us, and we were created in his likeness. And what is God? God is light. And we were light in him. But in and through sin, and we have come into darkness. A thick darkness, my hearers. A darkness that we can't see anymore. Of God's goodness, of God's grace, of God's love, of God's favor. We may hear of it, we may even speak of it, but we see it not. We are blind and cannot see. A darkness, my hearers, that was felt. So it is many times. But with the unregenerate, they do not feel that they are in darkness. They are satisfied to be in that state. But if ever God hath come into your life, a God who commands the light to shine out of darkness, and who has shown to the hearts of his people, then immediately you begin to have trouble with darkness. Then you begin to see the darkness. When the Apostle Paul was on the way to Damascus, this man was in darkness, but immediately there shone a light from heaven upon him. And where did that light bring him? Down on the ground. Down before God, who shined down upon him. Oh, what a mercy, my hearers, if God has shown down into your heart. And how does he do this? He does this by his word. His word is as a shining light. It shineth in the dark chambers of our hearts. And when this word comes, then immediately there comes light. The opening of thy word giveth light. All this darkness is such a type and an emblem of hell, my hearers. Those that remain in darkness will be cast out into outer darkness. There never will be any light in hell. It will be forever dark there. Oh, what an awful thought to think that if we should die in our sins, that will be the place where we will be forever and ever. Oh, may God in his infinite mercy come down into this thick darkness into which we all are by nature and in and through sin and shine upon us. For in his light we see light. Pray him, O God, help us. Look upon us, poor creatures in darkness. We know not thee, have no desire after thee, have no need of thee. But oh, that thou would reveal that thou hast a love and a purpose to our hearts to save us. Shine into our hearts. Oh, may God, who is nothing else but light, manifest this in our hearts and in our lives, that we may become the children of light and live no more in darkness. This concludes our lesson for today. Our time is up.